All right, we'll call the meeting to order. Our official timekeeper indicates at 6:30. That's Jeff, so we'll call the order. And are there citizen comments? Doesn't appear so. I have no reports. Are there any committee reports? All right, seeing none. Minutes before you, July 16th, joint committee and regular meeting. Discussion or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? The next item is this CABA report, which you have. We were told that the representative was not going to be here timely, was hoping to be here by 8. I'm not sure that we're going to be here by 8, judging from the agenda.
No. Supervisor Rose. Supervisor Rose, he's supposed to be here by 7.
Oh, 7. Okay, I thought you said 8. Well, we'll, if there are no objections, we'll just put that at the bottom of the agenda. We have the Sheriff's Resolution 2020 Department of Justice Drug and Trafficking Response Equipment Grant. And Bob, are you going to present that? Oh, okay. All right, fine. Perhaps you'd like to talk in this mic that'll be furnished to you. You have the resolution, right? All right, go ahead.
I'm asking for a request to approve a grant for $5,009 provided by the State of Wisconsin Department of Justice, passed through Racine County Sheriff's Department. It's part of the Southeast Asia Drug Operations Group. The $5,000 is to help us purchase surveillance equipment to support drug trafficking investigations. It does not require any additional funds from the grant, no local match. The spending period is from March 2020 through September 2020. It was unanimously approved by the Judiciary and Law Committee.
All right, are there any questions or discussion on the proposal? Yes.
Where does the number come from?
There are 5.
I mean, I understand it's a pass-through. I understand what it's for. I don't have a problem with it. But invariably, there's always, it's off a few cents or a few dollars every year. I don't know. I'm just curious.
It's divided up. It's one set amount divided by 5 different local agencies that also share the amount. As far as the exact dollar amount, I couldn't tell you. I believe so.
All right. Any other discussion? Yes, John.
I'm just curious. What sort of surveillance
equipment that we use is to identify suspects, record various interview tactics, stuff like that.
Further discussion, inquiries? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed. All right, passes unanimously, and I'll pass it along, starting with Jeff. Thank you. The next item is a resolution on equipment grant, Homeland Security. And Bob, you're going to present that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We're requesting your approval for a Homeland Security grant from Wisconsin Emergency Management for us to purchase a new explosive ordnance device bomb suit. The award is for $36,000 from Emergency Management for us to purchase this new bomb suit. The current bomb suit we have now is expired. We're going to continue to maintain that. We'll use it for training. Explosive resistant material does expire over time. This was also unanimously passed by the Judiciary and Law Committee. We request your approval.
All right. Discussion or motions, Jeff?
We have 2 right now. One of them's expired.
We'll have 2.
Two that.
One for training.
Yes, sir.
Discussion? Questions? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, I will circulate this. Jeff, pass it along. The next item on the agenda is a fiscal update. And Patty Barna, who's going to do that?
Yeah, I'll do that, Supervisor.
All right, go ahead.
So I'll be discussing the estimated fiscal impact of COVID-19 report that was distributed, I believe, yesterday to all the committee members.
Thank you. Bye.
On page one, it reflects adding of an additional month.
Can I interrupt? Bob, before you leave, do I have the the first one? I just want to make, oh, it's still being passed. Okay. Patty wanted us to leave them in this red folder. I just want to make sure we've still got them. All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No problem. So we're adding an additional month here, the month of July. This report is through the end of July. So what this report does is every department division reports to finance the effect of COVID related to their revenues and expenditures, whether it's negative or positive. So for the month of July, if you look in the expenditure section, we have some additional health personnel related costs related to the health department staff working on COVID related work instead of grant funded work. That's the $290,000 that's reflected there. And then some other materials, kind of smaller dollar amounts. And above that would be the monthly amount that we've been allocating regarding the sheriff's vacancy, regarding the positions that he's holding open as a result of the loss of the federal inmate revenue, in addition to drastically reducing overtime. That's the top number there. And then there's other variable costs that have been reduced as a result of not having the 170 federal inmates, including food, fuel, clothing, that sort of thing. In the revenue section, it shows either positively or negatively revenues that have been affected as a result of the virus. The top line there being the federal inmate housing revenue loss of $385 for the month of July, some circuit court revenue of $65, and some other miscellaneous type things. The sales tax revenue number there is a positive there because it actually improved based on what was received for May in July. We'll be getting in another week or so the month of June sales tax, and that'll be reflected on next month's. But when you add the three numbers going across there, it's showing that we're $237,000 below budget through July and through collections representing through May. So what this shows is cumulatively there's negative impact of $3.2 million offset by grants and awards that I'll be explaining in detail on the second page, offset by $1.83 million of expenditures that we'll be able to submit through the grants with a net of $1.4 million, which is about $190,000 more than in last month's report. Page two reflects those grants and awards that the county has been awarded. The largest one is the routes to recovery of federal money that came passed through the state. The already expended total there of $1.8 million corresponds to the $1.8 million on page one. And then the available balance of just over $3 million is what we can draw from during the rest of the year to offset eligible expenses. Now, these are all expenses related to COVID. We cannot submit lost revenue as part of that. That is not an eligible reimbursable cost. And then the bottom section shows the additional $639,000 that Division of Disability and Aging received of $639,000, of which we've been able to expend $250,000 with available balance of just under $400,000. On page one, sorry, I neglected to mention on page one at the very bottom, the $858,000 of stimulus relief award that Brookside received. They've been able to draw down $655,000 of that. In that case, we actually receive the money up front, and then we submit documentation for that. And of the $858,000, $655,000 has been documented as additional costs. The difference there being not only expenditures, but also lost revenue. That concludes my report. If anyone has any questions.
All right. Discussion on this? Questions? Anyone? Yes.
Barna, so the $858,000 would come off the $1.4 million, correct? I mean, it's not in your report up top, right?
Correct. It's not that $858,000 is not shown on anything. That's actually separate. It's an addition to the second page.
Okay. So as we look at the $3.2 million minus the $1.8 million, you said we're approximately $1.4 million down with the COVID. And then you take you really should take the $858,000 off of that, because that's part of the COVID stuff that we're getting too. So we're really down to about $600,000, right?
Yeah, you could look at it that way too. Correct. Yep.
I always want to look at the better side of something. So thank you.
Yeah, the reason I do it separately is Brookside, because they're kind of a standalone business type operation for the county. I don't like to lump it in there, but overall county wise, if you want to look at it that way, that is true.
Thank you.
That can't be used for anything other than Brookside?
Correct.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, thank you. The next item of business, the audit of the bills is going around, is that correct? All right. Are there any reports from human services or human resources?
There are no reports from human resources tonight.
All right, general fund balance?
Yes, Barna will be presenting the general fund report.
All right, Barna?
This is a general fund report that was also distributed at the same time as the COVID report. This month is the second month of reporting our general fund year end forecast. So that way I have the July and August next to each other, so you can see from one month to the next what items may have shifted. If you look at the bottom box there, what we're showing there is taking everything into consideration for the county, we're in the break even point. We've improved a little bit from last month, but that negative 5,000 is where we are when we take everything into consideration. If you look at the top part of the report, it shows the items that are causing increases in the general fund, the largest being Sheriff's Department operating expenditures. That refers to the overtime and the vacancy savings that I described in my earlier report. And that's offset by the loss of the federal inmate and other revenue deficits in the bottom section of 4.4. So they're showing a slight surplus in Sheriff's Department overall. health insurance surplus is at 750 conservatively, with human services still in the 600,000 range for surplus for the year. And then some other miscellaneous, and then workers' comp having a small surplus. On the negative side, the treasurer's tax delinquency and interest on taxes revenue deficit grew a little from 600 to 700,000. Sales tax revenue, as I said, improved from 347 to 237 deficit. The tax delinquencies number this month, with the July payments coming in, we're able to peg that at a $200,000 increase to the tax delinquency reserve. So that's a negative to the general fund. And a couple of other things that improved. So bottom line, we're just about at break even. just short of $20 million for unassigned general fund balance. And then comparing that to the general fund expenditures, that puts us a little over 28% of our general fund expenditures, which is $7.8 million over our 17% minimum that the county board minimum. With that, I'll take any questions.
Discussion or comments? Yes, Ron.
I've got a question. I'm trying to figure out how we ended up a little bit over.
Could you speak in the mic?
We can't hear you.
I'm trying to figure out how we had held up, how we get a reserve balance higher than before. Is there going to be some different effect next year on the
federal inmates? Will have to obviously adjust that in our 2021 budget as a reduction of revenue and a corresponding reduction in expenditures.
Well, if I read this right, then it's actually we're breaking even on expenses versus overtime and other things. Am I right?
Right. Yeah. The sheriff's department has basically done those budget cuts already in order, knowing full well that it would create a large budget hole if he didn't.
So apparently we haven't been making as much on the inmates as we thought we were, right?
That number definitely.
I heard a number in the past about we were making $1 million, and I'm figuring out how we can still be increasing our keeping even. So the idea that we made money on federal inmates must not be true, right?
Well, it was true. However, other expenses and revenues play a part, because this is a comprehensive look at that. But that definitely that number had decreased over the years. As expenses went up, and as you know, the federal government refused to raise that $70 a day for 15 to 20 years. So that number eroded over time.
But we were led to believe, I was led to believe, that there was $1 million profit every year on the federal inmates, and obviously there wasn't.
Supervisor Frederick, if I might, there was a profit from the federal inmates, as Barna said, and that has deteriorated over time. However, there are other things that are leading into the surpluses that you're seeing for the sheriff's department. The reduction in overtime,
right,
is not just in detentions, it's also deputies. So Country Thunder, for example, didn't take place this year. There's a lot of deputy overtime involved in that. So there are other factors that are leading into it. They're doing a very good job of keeping overtime down. In addition, they've not filled vacant positions, as we've discussed before. And there are other variable costs like food and laundry and things like that that are contributing. We don't know exactly where this will wash out in the end, but right now we're just very happy to see that they've been able to contain those costs to the extent that they have.
Well, I guess by the first of the year, we'll find out when your budget comes in, you see what you're projecting for next year, right?
Right. Another way to look at it too is when we would calculate the profit, the expenditures were always done kind of on a percentage basis, because not when you looked at jail operations, you couldn't necessarily take every expense and say, okay, this was directly related to federal inmates. It was done kind of on a percentage basis. So we'll find out, with not having them at all, how accurate our percentages were when we were applying those.
Well, not receiving an increase for 10 years, I suspect that what I was suspecting all along is we weren't making anything on it.
Well, how much did we make?
This last audit showed, I believe it was 800,000.
The last audit being 2019?
19, correct.
Yes.
What would have been the high water mark of that?
I believe at one time it was over 2 million when it first started.
Oh.
Maybe even.
That was before my time. The most I ever remember seeing it was 1.5, but yeah.
Never a loss.
No.
Anything else? All right. Any other discussion, Jeff?
I thought that that number was higher. I thought that you're telling me 1.5. Is that after the sheriff's department took money from it, or is that on the net?
That's the revenue that came in from federal inmates, less expenses allocated to the program. Every year in the audit.
No other overtime or no other spreading within the sheriff's department?
It was stuff allocated directly to the federal inmates.
Yeah. Plus, I thought that number was higher.
No.
Are you combining the marshals stuff and the, I mean, there's two different inmates, types of inmates that we get. We're obviously still getting the other one, correct?
Yeah, the federal marshals.
The federal marshals, yes, the federal marshals are still there.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you count that into the 1.5 million or the 800,000?
Yeah. Yep.
You did. That was all inmates combined.
Yes. All federal inmates, whether it be ICE or federal marshals.
I mean, look at the big number under the sheriff's, 4.6 million. Can you explain that to me?
That's the savings in overtime and more, and I guess more materially is the vacancy of over 20 to 30 employees, correctional officers. And
does that 4.6 include what we've collected for our detainees, no matter who they are, year to date as well?
The 4.4 million, the 4.476 million deficit there takes into account what we had budgeted versus what we've already collected, and obviously nothing front since March 16th, I believe.
Oh, we still have the other. Do we know how many inmates were actually holding through the marshals?
I believe that's between 50 and 60. I can get you that exact number for next month. That varies month to month, obviously. And the federal inmate number, as you know, pogoed up and down anywhere from 150 to sometimes as high as 200.
Right. Right. Well, I am actually very happy with this report. I mean, I expected with the coronavirus and with the, you know, the inmate, the federal inmates going away, that we would have a much bigger hole. So, I mean, to see that we're only down 5,000 at this point is very encouraging.
Yeah, the departments are definitely making efforts to make sure that they can hold the line on their budgets.
And we don't expect any, there's no budget traps that you can think of that we might fall into between now and the end of the year. I mean, that are, you know, other than we have another virus attack or something unforeseen, but there's nothing that we haven't paid for, or there's nothing out there that we're going to get hit with that is not in here that's going to cause us to go pear-shaped.
Nothing that I know of. The one that you mentioned, if the virus worsens and continues through the next.
Yeah, I mean, stuff out of our control, I get. But
things that are within our control, I would say we don't know of anything that would make this worse at this point.
Thank you very much.
I would like to point out also, I mean, like with the sales tax revenue, in the first couple months, our projections were deficits of over $1 million. And you know, seeing the numbers come in, and in the other report, Barna shows month by month, you know, they were down in March, they were down in for April, the collections in June, and the collections in May. But then the collections in July, we were up over $100,000 over last year. So, and that was collections for May. Things were shut down still for half of May. So that made us step back and reevaluate, because obviously sales tax is not getting hit as hard as we had anticipated.
Is there money being made on the marshals inmates?
We won't do the allocation of costs on that until the end of the year.
Yeah.
All right. Further discussion, John?
Yeah. Barnett, just curious, is a reduction in sheriff's overtime normally considered an expenditure? When I read that first, I was a little confused because I thought an expenditure, you actually spent, I thought that was the amount that you were spending that was going up, not down.
No.
Is he looking at the other report?
I'm looking at the one we were talking about, sheriff's overtime. That March is 88,000 and then April it jumps to 175. And then 175, it seems like it's going up to me.
Yeah.
Am I reading that right or what?
What those numbers reflect are the actual offsets. So that's actually increasing. So our estimate month by month of the savings of overtime actually increased.
So the savings is going, you're not spending that amount. That's what I was confused because it's in the expenditure column.
Right.
Because typically it is an expenditure.
Yeah.
Right. As you look at that whole expenditure section, the negatives are areas where the spending is higher than the normal. So that's a decrease. I mean, that's an expense to us, an additional expense. But in the case of the sheriff's overtime and the vacancy and the variable cost reductions, those are not as high. So those are lowering the decreases that the others are increasing. So right. I know it sounds a little strange, and it's in expenditures because sheriff's overtime is normally an expenditure. It's not a revenue line item. It's an expense line item.
Right. I mean, I could roll all that together, but because the report shows the expenditures on top and the revenue, it's kept separate. And it also better illustrates kind of the offset of the loss of revenue.
What's the normal expense overtime expenditure? Put quotes around normal. I mean, usual.
Usual. They've budgeted in the past 1.6 million, and I believe they've exceeded over 3 million many of the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Yes.
Point is, it's going down.
Yes.
Correct.
It's a reduction in overtime pay. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Jeff.
Yeah, we've watched that for 14 years that I've been on the board. So that is something that the Sheriff's Department overtime has been always something that we've looked at and tried to dive into and understand. And, you know, it's this year it's hard to get a real feel for it because of the No Country Thunder and other things with the virus. But that is a battle that we've always fought, is the overtime. So, you know, I think at this point, these are good numbers for where we sit. So thank you very much.
Sure.
For discussion questions. All right, if there's nothing further from finance, we'll move on. Nothing further?
Nothing further.
All right. Are there any other reports that are listed on the agenda to be given this evening, Patty?
No, there are not.
All right, this brings us back to the CABA second quarter report.
Yeah.
Was he going to appear in person or by video?
I believe Brock is on the video.
Oh, he is Brock? Now?
I see Brock. His initials.
All right, Brock, are you there?
Brock, I believe you're on mute.
I'm here. Can everybody hear me?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chair Rose, and thanks for accommodating me, and sorry that I'm late. I'll try to be concise on the loan reports because there's not much to hit. Just a couple of items to note on each of the pages, and then I'll just kind of give some bigger picture notes. So on the first page of your report is the EDA RLF. You'll note on that page there was one loan disbursement of $58,000 and change that pertains to the Kitchen Cubes loan. That's just the final draw on the equipment. And you'll see on the second page that is now fully drawn at the $350,000. So that was just the final draw on the equipment. No new loans there to note, just the final draw. In the CRLF, the only item to note there is there's one outstanding commitment of $500,000. That again pertains to the Nexus Pharmaceuticals loan. There again, we had approved a $1.5 million equipment loan and a $500,000 high impact loan, which I'll touch on a little bit later. But you'll probably see that outstanding for the next quarter or two while construction is going on until they fully fund the equipment. In the CKC fund, no new activity there. I've mentioned this before. Those are pertain to CDBG funds, which are community development block grant funding, which is frozen right now. We can't do any new activity there, but we are working on a solution to basically put those funds in play, which will basically defederalize those funds. Don't have anything approved by the state yet, but we are working on it. And I kind of don't have more information yet. Once I do, I'll give everybody a breakdown of what we're working on. Last one in the package is the high impact fund. You'll note there was a disbursement of $450,000. This quarter, again, that pertains to the Nexus Pharmaceuticals project. That was the first installment, and the final installment will be dispersed once they obtain full occupancy. Per usual, we always hold a little bit back until they're up and running. That's kind of it for the new loan activity. If you remember, we did roll out a 3-month deferral to try to help our local businesses manage through COVID. A lot of those businesses that are in these loan funds have opted to start paying again, which would have been effective in July. So I think they got payment deferrals in April, May, and June, and then started paying again in July. We deferred all that interest and we re-amortized it so they didn't get hit with a large sum payment come back to July. And we gave them an option for another 3-month deferral had they provided support for how their business was impacted by COVID. So, I think a lot of that is driven by the PPP loans that were received, but good that they're starting. It's encouraging that they're starting to, opt into paying back right away. So outside of that report, a couple other large items I want to note. First is the EDA RLF that was the first one that we looked at. The EDA selected Kenosha County and CABA, since we are a Class A borrower, to apply for a one-time grant for COVID-19 relief, which would ultimately give us $3.6 million, a grant to Kenosha County and or CABA to administer in COVID-19 relief. All signs are pointing up. We expect to receive that. I was hoping to have that by tonight, but I don't. But we are expecting another big chunk of funds that we can administer to businesses throughout the entire county, which with much more favorable terms in an effort for COVID-19 relief. If and when we get that, everything will run through the county finance committee and board. You will see all the terms of that should we be awarded that. But I'm saying with about a 95% confidence level that we're going to get that, and you'll see that probably sometime soon. In other news, the Salem Business Park, which I think everybody is aware of, we have one tenant, Vonco Products, that everybody's aware of. I think they came on board probably in like 2017. You may have seen some news there. We're working with a company called Anderson Manufacturing, which is now Stabio North America. They were bought out by a Swiss manufacturing company called Ferrer di Stabio. They're in the process of building 110,000 square foot manufacturing, brand new manufacturing facility in the Salem Business Park, as well as Advent Manufacturing, which is constructing a 50,000 square foot manufacturing facility in the Salem Business Park. So we've got a lot of positive activity in the Salem Business Park, which is great. We have a pledge to Anderson Manufacturing, or again Stabio, out of the High Impact Fund, which you should be seeing soon. Construction commenced in April or May and is expected to be completed late this year in occupancy early 2021. So a lot of positive signs right now for the Salem Business Park, which is great. And that same timeline works with Advent Manufacturing, which was a company out of Northern Illinois that's moving across the border. Just a couple other notes, Prairie Highlands Corporate Park. So the big one there for us is Nexus Pharmaceuticals. They had their operational plans and site facilities and everything approved in May of this year. And so phase one of that project, which is just shy of 500,000 square feet of production facility, is expected to commence in the fall of this year. They're already moving dirt right now. So they're kind of getting started. Other notable items, Kroger and Ocado, they are kind of in the same phase of final site and operational plans, which were approved in May. And site work is underway. We would expect construction pretty soon here in the fall, or perhaps spring of 2021. U-Line is constructing a new $1.1 million square foot distribution facility out by Silgan Containers, which some people refer to as the Kenosha Corporate Park. That's just on the southwest corner of the intersection of 142 and I-94. I think other notable items, Cabo was signed in by the city of Kenosha to administer a small business grant program on behalf of the city of Kenosha, up to $15,000 for, again, COVID-19 relief programs. We launched that in maybe mid-June. We received over 135 applicants, and we awarded grants and had money out the door by mid-July to 56 different businesses. So that was a nice program. I know it's city only, but I think there was a lot of positive feedback there on the administration and how quickly we were able to turn that around. So, a lot of good things. I would just say, like, in the pipeline, activity isn't slowing down. We're still working with a handful of companies. We have another prospect in the Salem Business Park, which is great. That was kind of slow going for a while, but I guess kind of when it rains, it pours, which is, awesome. So those are my notable items. With that, I'll answer any questions on the report or other.
All right. Jeff.
You don't have to apologize for helping out city businesses, because the city is part of the county. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Monica.
Brock, what is the interest rate for Nexus Pharmaceuticals with that $450,000? Or is that being deferred?
So the am I off mute? Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So the $450,000 on the high impact loan, that's automatically in accordance with the contract is fixed at prime. So that interest is deferred. We would accrue that on our books, and should the performance not be met, they would have to repay that going all the way back. But at the time, we're not collecting any interest on those funds unless they don't hit the performance obligations, which of course is tied to CapEx and job creation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything further? Brock, are you getting any inquiries from Chicago, Cook County in light of what's going down there?
No, I mean, I guess I'm not sure what you're referring to. There's, I think our activity is pretty kind of run of the mill right now, which, knock on wood, we think is a good thing because, you know, I feel like a lot of communities are seeing everything shut down, but we're still seeing positive activity.
Thank you. Anything further from anyone? Brock, thank you. And that concludes the agenda, unless there's some other relevant business from any committee member. Further comments? All right, there's a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All those in favor say aye. Aye, opposed. Thank you. And we will see you next week. And Patty, the folder with the signed resolutions here, as well as yes. The book with the bills.
Yes, they should stay there. Someone right. will take them to the committee, to the administration building. Supervisor Rose, did you point out to the committee that there will be a special meeting on Tuesday before the board meeting to award the sale?
Yeah, yes, that's a good point. That would be on the weekly agenda, but we will correct. Have a short meeting on Tuesday before the board. I believe it's 7, isn't it, Patty?
Yes, it is.
And the anticipation is we'll act upon the bond sale resolutions and the standard report. So.
Yep.
Well, there are a couple of things on the agenda for the executive meeting, which is 6:30. Do you want to have this meeting at 7:15 instead of 7? Is that adequate? All right, Patty, can you take the initiative to notice that for 7:15?
Okay.
You think that's enough time, Patty?
The only item is the award of sale, so I think that it will probably go fairly quickly.
All right.
Is the concern that the executive committee will take longer than the half hour allotted?
Perhaps, yeah. There are a couple of, the one resolution on that development at the old dog track.
Right. What if we notice the meeting as the finance meeting will start at the conclusion of the executive committee meeting? Would that work for everyone?
Yes, but what time should they be there then?
True.
That don't make any sense because how do I know what time to get here?
Well, right. Can we just say 7:15? I don't think that should be a controversial issue. We'll say 7:15. That would be in this room, correct?
Yes. Yes. All the meetings that evening will be held in that room.
Right. Where we're seated now?
Because it's followed by a board meeting, the layout of the room will probably be more in line with the board meeting. So there doesn't have to be a rearrangement.
So we'll be meeting in this big room now?
Yes, correct.
As opposed to the side room?
Correct.
Well, thank you, and we are now adjourned. Thank you.